My name is Aaron Ryan.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Bill. Bill's got the funky microphone today, haha.
Yeah, it has a mind of its own. Hey, well, our sponsor today is Guess.
Hold on, I think it's on my mug. Yep, Pape Machinery.
Pape Machinery. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they do everything when it comes to John Deere, ag, and turf. Go by and see them if you're looking for a mower, a tractor, implements, you name it. They have it in stock. They also handle the Honda generator line, which I think they sold a few last week with the high winds and high temperatures.
And the PG&E shutoffs.
Yep, yeah. And the thawing turkeys. And, yeah, it was quite a deal. So go by and see them. Their phone number is 226-9226. Or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And they have stores all over.
Yes. I think they're up to 35 stores now in the
No, because they just got all those states. Other ones in Washington.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're up to 42 now. Yeah, they bought Washington Tractor here just recently. That was another 12 stores. So,
could see them almost anywhere if you're in the Northwest.
So if they don't have it, I think they can find it for you. One of their stores will have what you're looking for. They'll bring it right in and get you fixed up. So,
ta-da!
Yeah, there you go.
I just didn't want to cheat people out of that extra info.
Yeah, thanks for that, Aaron.
I was looking out for you, Bill. oh, it's going to be like that today, is it?
I think so.
Is it going to be like that?
Yeah.
Huh. Going to be like, are you going to be the Chris Wallace of the show today?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
I won't go there.
You're walking home. Maybe I'll just drag you behind the car just to get it out of my system. Guy just irritates me so much. Why isn't everyone wearing a mask at your rally? Really? Oh, okay. So South Africa is basically, you know, on fire. Lots of things going on there. We'll be talking about that with our good friend, Dr. Harry Booyans. He's going to be on in the next few weeks, and that situation is dire. And if you're unaware of what's going on in South Africa, you can tune in at wethepeopleradio.us. We've done a bunch of shows on South Africa. You can get yourself all up to speed, and then he will give you the latest and greatest. We're also going to talk about fire, and then I think maybe next week. Fire and forestry, actually, because there's just so much, you know, lying and misinformation out there about how forestry actually works and how fire fits the landscape and whether or not it's global warming, blah, blah, blah.
Why are we really having all these fires?
Why are we really having all these fires? It's very explainable. And so our good friend Ray Haup, who is a registered professional forester and 30-year veteran of the Forest Service and happens to be a county supervisor in an area with lots of public land that is routinely on fire up in Siskiyou County. He's going to join us, too, in the next, I think it's next week. So keep an eyeball on the website, and you will be up to speed. And that is at wethepeopleradio.us. So today happens to be October 18th, 2020, and we're going to delve into the wide world of fracking. And I put, and fossil fuels, just, you know, because we're talking about other stuff. But
that's right.
Finally, my dreams have come true after almost 10 years. We found somebody who knows something about fracking.
You hear about fracking, but what is it really all about?
And every time somebody talks to me about it, I realize as I'm talking to them, they don't know enough to actually tell anybody anything.
All I know is it's starting to have earthquakes, and there's all kinds
your water is on fire coming out of your faucet.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear all this stuff, and it's like, you kind of think it's fake, but... And how does it fit into the energy portfolio, and what does that mean? And if we cut out doing it, what does that do? And I just think people ought to know because, well, these decisions are being made, and ultimately we're all picking up the tab. So our friend Jesus Arredondo is back with us. He was here a couple weeks ago. He is the principal and founder of Advantage Government Consulting, LLC. He has over 20 years of experience in public, government, and regulatory affairs, including concentrated experience in energy and agricultural policy issues, which is super helpful because those are obviously connected. He was the Deputy Secretary for Marketing and Communications at the California Trade and Commerce Agency. He was the Deputy Chief of Protocol for the state of California. He's just done all sorts of stuff, and he found this niche market, as he kind of told us last time. Maybe he'll give us a little more behind the scenes on that, but... He earned his undergraduate degree from the University of California at Davis and a graduate degree from the University of Miami and the University of California at Los Angeles. He served in the U.S. Army. He was honorably discharged. And he's an attorney. Huh. And he's not even 800 years old.
Yeah. I guess my only question is, when are you going to run for governor?
Or something. Yeah, what hasn't he done? So you can find all his information there, too. And their website for their business is ca-advantage.com. And we've got that all linked up for you. So, Jesus, we haven't talked about this topic off air, which is fun because now I don't know anything still. We'll go wherever you want to go today.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show again.
And, absolutely.
Bill, if you do become Chris Wallace, I might sign off with Aaron.
Yeah.
He's going to come up and sit in the car and film you being dragged behind the car.
I'm afraid I'll lose second chair.
Yeah, you might.
Just
you might.
Irritating.
So the fracking, I think that, you know, confuses folks, and the worst part of it is that it confuses people that don't know anything about it,
right?
And are trying to explain it, and so that's what frustrates me the most is that before we can understand what fracking is and what it isn't, why don't we try to understand why we are so dependent on oil and what it would mean to end fracking and to end fracking? Let's put that word on the side for a second.
Okay.
Let's not even call it fracking. Let's call it extraction. But before we go there, I think that similar to what I did on the last show with energy, let's go to the kind of what I like to call is the 50,000 foot level first to understand, you know, what is it? Why the fascination with oil? Why the fascination with ending the use of oil? And does that really intersect? Does that logic really intersect when we understand, one, how much we consume, and two, what it would actually take to end our consumption and what it would do to us in the meantime? I think that there are a lot of crossing paths there that no one really takes the time to understand or to look at. If we did, I think you would find, as I have found, because that's how I try to understand it first, is that, you know, where does all of this start, and how can all of this be ended, if that's truly where we're going, and California has launched in that direction. So let me start first of all with explaining to everyone, Californians consume an immense amount of energy. And we have an incredible thirst for petroleum products. Let me say that again. We have an incredible thirst for petroleum products. And this underpins our modern lifestyle, well beyond gasoline, for our cars and our trucks. Most of what you see around you, wherever you're sitting right now, if you're in your car and listening, virtually everything in your vehicle is petroleum, comes from derived from a petroleum-based product. Not just the gasoline, not just the oil, but everything around you. All of the plastics, all of the rubber, all of it. If it's not derived from petroleum-based products, you're not sitting in it. If you look around your house and you suddenly were to start to take away all of the plastics around you, you'd be left with very little, because there's a lot of plastic material, even in the chair that you're sitting in or the couch that you're relaxing in, or the radio that you're listening to right now, or the computer that you're using to listen to this show, or if you've got the football game on in the background on mute, none of that works if not for petroleum-based products. So how do we meet our need in California?
Hold that thought, and that way we won't interrupt you on the next part. But, you know, while we're doing that, I'm going to have to find the list of all the things that are derived from cattle byproducts, too, because that list is insane, including your tires. When you said tires, I was like,
sure.
Yeah. Cattle byproducts are everywhere as well. Mm-hmm. So all these things that have been demonized are...
Yeah, you might want to give it a second thought.
Yeah, you can't peel that out of your life, but people don't know.
Exactly.
So, you know, hey, it's easy to say we don't need it. We'll be right back with our guest, Jesus Arredondo. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about
People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it happened all right. The Oxy Show, it's a dynamo.
That's like my reminder song, because you can actually see it. Robert videos the show, so you can actually see it on our website, or you can watch it on the AUN, on the American Uncensored Network. And I think that's also going to be, it is on Roku. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so some people like watching it, and some people would rather listen, and then other people are just haters, and they listen to other stuff. They listen to Chris Wallace. he's never going to outrun his debate performance, I don't think. All right, so Jesus, back to the matter at hand.
Yeah. So let's just go back to how much we consume in California. Remember, we're just looking at California. So on a standalone basis, California is the fourth largest global consumer of energy. And to meet our needs, the state at present imports a little bit better than 74% of our crude oil into the state. So this is in 2019 figures, and it's a new record, and it seems like year on year we have had new records. I expect that 2020 we'll see a huge decline because of COVID, but that's a black swan event in economics. That's an anomaly that could not have been predicted.
Although they'll probably use it to make policy.
Well, they'll use it to make policy, but my challenge, and I'll explain it a little bit more, is I don't know how you do that. So when I say we're importing 74% of our, a little bit better than 74% of our crude oil needs in California, first they're coming from foreign countries, but why are we importing 74%? I think that's the one question I think that's probably, or the one number that might surprise a number of folks in California. So in 2019, before we had COVID, you would get into your vehicle every morning and you'd go to work, or you'd drop off your kids, or you would go run your errands. If you're retired, you're going to play golf, or you're going to meet with your friends for breakfast. Whatever you were doing, you were typically jumping in a car first thing in the morning. And or if you're in business, you're going to the office, you're jumping on an airplane, you are jumping on your computer and you're ordering stuff from Amazon to be delivered, UPS, FedEx, U.S. Postal Service. All of these things have oil components to it, and people don't really realize that. They think that the Amazon truck magically appears and that it must be running on fairy dust or unicorn power.
FedEx truck, definitely running on unicorn poop or whatever.
Sure.
They power themselves up.
So let me just throw three numbers at everyone here. 43 million gallons of gasoline is what we take in on a daily basis in California, non-COVID years. 43 million gallons of gasoline, that's what it takes to move us every single day.
Wow.
13 million gallons of diesel every single day. So 43 million gallons of gasoline, 13 million gallons of diesel, and 10 million gallons of jet fuel. Every single day. That's just California, okay? That's what makes us the fourth largest consumer of energy in the world. Fourth largest consumer of energy in the world. Now, why in the world would we be importing 74% of our crude oil need? Well, I just told you, 43 million gallons of gasoline, 13 million gallons of diesel, and 10 million gallons of jet fuel every single day. So, well, Jesus, why can't we do more in California? We used to. We used to. In 1975, we imported only 5% of that need. Only 5% of that need we used to import. Now, granted, 1975, we didn't have as many cars as we have on the roads today, so that's the next natural question, right? It was, well, how many cars do we have on the road? 36 million vehicles are registered, according to the Department of Motor Vehicles. 36 million vehicles registered running in the state of California today. During COVID, that number fell way off because we couldn't go anywhere. Everything was closed. So, again, 2020 is going to be an anomalous data year on energy and on oil consumption because of that. And I worry, like you said, Aaron, that there will be policymakers that will say, well, look, we didn't consume any. Yeah, you
exactly.
didn't go anywhere anyway, mm-hmm. right? You didn't go anywhere. So please, please, please think about that. So let's just take that 74% number for a second. What is 74% of that annual need? Well, it translates to 342 million barrels of oil on an annual basis. 342 million barrels is what we imported. And so where would that oil have come from if it didn't come from California? Could we do more in California? Those are very important policy questions. Yes, we could do a lot more. Remember, in 1975, we only imported 5% of what we needed. Today, we import 74%. So where is that oil coming from? It's coming from very stable parts of the world, you'll be glad to know, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Nigeria, Angola. That's just to name a few of the paragons of human rights and child protection, right? So when we look at this, this is what frustrates me the most from a policy perspective, is from one side of our mouth, we hear our politicians say, we've got to do more to protect the environment. That's what California has turned into, right? We have to do more about protecting the lives of children. California has turned into that. And we have to do more to protect the rights of everybody. We protect the rights of everybody in California. And when we don't like what another state, another U.S. state, does, or if they don't do as much as we do, we ban travel. We ban official state travel. We ban public universities from going to those states to play football, to play basketball,
right.
to play baseball.
About that.
We don't let them go. We've stopped it because how dare you not look at things the way California does, right? And so crazy we've become in California that from Oklahoma, we said, we are not taking oil. We are not taking oil from Oklahoma because their LGBTQ policies don't align with California's views. Think about that for a second, okay? What happens to gay people in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia? Let me tell you, they throw them off tops of buildings. Now, how does that align with the policy of California? Not at all. But we are perfectly okay with taking 342 million gallons from those countries, but we won't take a drop of oil from Oklahoma. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And this is where policy has completely disconnected from reality. And so I go back to this number of 74% of our oil, 342 million barrels of oil. And I asked this question, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I asked the legislature. I asked, and there were a couple of legislators who were very helpful and who said, that's a great question. We should pose that question to somebody. Who should we write to? And I said, well, ask the legislative analyst's office, ask the commission, ask CalGEM, which is a division under the Department of Resources that tracks all of these numbers for the state of California. What does that translate to? How much did California pay for those millions of barrels? And what would that look like? I always like to do this. I always like to take numbers like that and translate them to how many books would that have bought in California for schools?
Yeah.
Because we're always defending schools. How many people would that have fed? Because we're always trying to feed everybody. And how many homeless people would that have helped? Because we're trying to do that too. Remember, that was Governor Gavin Newsom's that was his number one priority. Hasn't been solved yet. And he's still working very hard on it, I'm sure, but nothing has happened on that.
Right.
He pulled together a task force, that has not generated one piece of paper. I don't know how much money has been spent on that effort. But let's look at what California's present deficit is. And just as a reminder to the listeners in California, $54 billion is what our deficit is in California. We kind of papered over it legislatively. We borrowed from the future. We're hoping that in a Biden administration, the Biden administration is going to send $1.2 trillion to California, and that's going to solve all of our debt problems, and we will right the ship. But the California's present budget is approaching $209 billion. So let's go back to that 74% number. 74% is what we're bringing in from all of these wonderful countries that protect human rights. And we seem to not mind that we're putting out that much money. The alternative is that we could be putting that money to work here in California. We could be putting more Californians to work by allowing more extraction in California for that need, or even paying other Americans for that energy resource need that we have in some of our neighboring states. But we elect not to do that. So what does that translate to? Well, that translates to almost the entirety of that deficit at $54 billion. Now, how interesting is that? That the same amount that we are in deficit right now is what we're actually paying for in oil. Foreign oil. The countries that could give a hoot about California's policies on children, policies on women's rights, policies on LGBTQ, they could give a hoot. And it seems like we're sticking our head in the sand like an ostrich and saying, well, so long as nobody asks, let's just let it go and go ahead and pay nearly $54 billion for that oil that we desperately need, because we need 43 million gallons of gasoline every single day, 13 million gallons of diesel every single day, and 10 million gallons of jet fuel every single day.
Yeah.
But let's not take any from Oklahoma.
No.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
We wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I have a burning question, and I know you're going to get to it, but when we come back from our break, let's talk about how much oil is in California that we don't want to tap into.
Is that on our list of things?
Well, great question.
I think.
Okay, we'll celebrate Bill's great question while we get a little message from our advertisers, and we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place. They're living it up at the Hotel California. What a nice surprise, what a nice surprise. When you're alibi.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, who I wanna be there, yeah, in my city. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah, because that's what we're headed for. So not to put too fine a point on it, but okay, so do we get to answer Bill's question now, or do we have to wait?
Let's take it this way. So we've been California's been declining in its ability to extract oil resources since 1969. There was an oil spill off the coast of California in Santa Barbara, near Santa Barbara, and that oil spill created regulation that was, I think, the beginning of the limiting of what California would be able to do in the future. At the time, California was the third largest oil producer in the country. People don't actually know that. Third largest oil producer in the country. We've never been better than Texas or the Permian Basin. We've never been better than that. But being third is pretty tremendous, right? think it would surprise most people to know that we're the sixth largest oil producer in the country. Sixth largest oil producer. Not bad. But not great when we're importing 342 million gallons, right? But that's because of our size, and that's because of our consumption. So could we do more? Yes. And how much more could we do? That's a fantastic question that unfortunately doesn't have an exact answer. But I could say that, you know, we had other, since 1969, about every 10 years, we've had increasing regulation, both from the federal and state governments. And not coincidentally, right, I don't think this will surprise anybody, during Democratic federal administrations, we've seen more restrictions. California became Democratic, and I might get in trouble with some of my friends for saying this, but when Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor, he was, I would say, the first in the series of Democratic governors that came back to California, and we started... We started going down a conservation, let's call it a conservation radicalization plan that has not slowed down at all. So every year more restrictive, every year we are blaming other people, and it tends to be the way of policy, of liberal policy, as being a student of policy and particularly around energy. Year on year, we become more and more restrictive. There are 26 agencies that that manage energy in California. So 26 agencies that you have to jump through hoops through in order to pull a permit that would allow you to extract oil. So when I hear the word fracturing or fracking, I don't think anybody quite understands what that means. And There are a number of definitions below the word fracking. Fracking sounds, I guess it sounds terrible to people that don't understand what the definition is, but oils and gases in the ground are found in very difficult to reach places, and in order to release those gases and release those petrochemicals, you need to either steam the area in order to loosen it, or you need to physically break into the shale of the rock formation in order to release the gas. And so when you say fracking, it's not a, you know, a 1 to 2 to 3 word definition that explains it. I will send you a link to the definitions of fracking, and you'll be surprised that, you know, we could do an entire hour on each of those different methodologies for what that hydraulic fracturing would be, which universally has been known, come to be known as fracking. So releasing that that oil, that natural gas, becomes more and more cumbersome from a regulatory perspective. So it becomes less and less because it becomes more and more expensive. And I think that that's what's happened in California. Why do we import 342 million gallons or barrels of oil for our annual needs? Because it's become too difficult to get it here. If we could easily put hundreds of thousands of people back to work if some of those regulations were not relaxed, but if they were changed. Because there is no place more cumbersome to extract oil than the state of California.
And you're referring to not necessarily the technological difficulty, but the bureaucratic difficulty of reaching.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and when we look at, you know, I said earlier we were the third largest producer of oil in 1969, without a doubt. You know, the technologies that existed in 1969 were nowhere near as safe as they are today. So there is no reason why we couldn't extract, why we couldn't move back to being the third largest producer of oil in California and solve a number of our economic problems, because we put so many more people to work. And the taxes that would be generated from the extraction would be phenomenal for the state. But oil has become a dirty word, and we want to do away with it in California, not the rest of the country, because I think the rest of the country is still rational. California has become irrational on this, and you know, we can't see the realities of our need, and I think it's just simply because people don't know. They don't realize how much of this energy we actually consume. And when you hear, you know, we recently heard the governor say that he's going to ban, if he has it his way, we would ban the internal combustion engine in the state of California beginning in 2035. Well, earlier I told you that the Department of Motor Vehicles says that we have 36 million vehicles registered in the state of California. How many of those are all electric right now? 750,000. So we're not even at a million.
Yeah.
Right? So how many, so I challenged myself with this crazy little exercise. How many millionaires are there in the state of California? Well, according to census data, there are 1 million millionaires in the state of California, at least millionaires. So some of them have a lot more money than that. Well, how come we don't have at least 1 million vehicles all electric registered in the state of California? Well, because there are at least 300,000 of those 1 million millionaires that have decided that that's not for them. So if those guys who can afford it the most aren't buying them, how can people that can afford it the least buy them? And how then can we get to 2035 and all of us driving all electric vehicles before we even tackle the question of infrastructure, right? That's the reality. And I think that that's what's missing in the public discourse on the policy side, is that, you know, how ridiculous are we being? And when we look at something like this, and so, you know, putting my pointy economist hat on, I would ask the other question is, how many policies are in place right now that are driving us towards 100% renewables in the near future that would do away with all of this oil, that would do away with all of our natural gas, that would do away with all of these things, right? And we are not accounting for how exacerbating that reality is going to be to all of the other products, as we were mentioning at the beginning, that would go away without petroleum-based products. If we do away with cattle, what is that going to do to our costs, right? So all of those things would eventually impact at the end of the day, it impacts the average everyday consumer, because if we're not producing that stuff here, it's being produced somewhere else and it's going to be shipped to us. Just ask Hawaii how things go for those people that live there on a regular basis. If you're just visiting Hawaii, it's wonderful. It's very expensive. But it's a great getaway, right? But then you come home and things are cheaper. You really don't spend enough time there to realize how much gasoline is. Guess what? California is number two on gasoline costs. So we're approaching that kind of reality that Hawaii has known for all too well and for all too long. And I've got some numbers that I want to share. And I don't know if we're at a place of another break, but
yeah, like
when
a minute,
we do have
a minute and a half.
Okay, so at the next break, I'll jump into those numbers. But let's keep going down this path of, so how much more oil could we actually produce? Well, at one point, we only imported 5%. Yes, we've grown a whole bunch since 1975, right? And we're going to grow a whole bunch more between now and 2060, which is the projections that we have on energy consumption right now, the best projections that we have. So if between now and 2060, we grow to 51 million people in the state of California, we're roughly at 40 million. That's 11 million people more in the state of California. That's an amazing amount of growth. Well, that's more homes, that's more energy consumption, that's more vehicles. Is an all-electric infrastructure for transportation real? I don't really think it is. And I think that at some point we have to reconcile the notion of at what cost do we impose all of these policies on ourselves? What is it going to be? Because if it's at any cost, then you're going to wind up with a lot fewer people in the state of California. I think that we wind up unwittingly ratcheting back the population to 1975 figures, because people just won't be able to afford it here and they'll go someplace else.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to be the rich people that can afford to leave. It's going to be everybody, because
sure,
we can't afford to be here anymore.
No.
Not tax-wise and not cost-wise.
Anybody who's looking at retiring, I mean, you know, you have to realize that you'll have twice as much money as if you move someplace else.
Well, just we have a relative that lives in Texas, and he was out just recently, and he said gas there is $1.60, and we're paying almost $4 here in California, and we think that's normal. It's not normal, and we've just become so complacent about it. But there's no reason for it.
And that's not the only thing. Anyway, it's unnecessary, too.
No good reason for it.
So here's my ode to global warming. We'll go out with that, and we'll come back with our guest, Jesus Arredondo. I made you a doctor. I guess you're a doctor now. Sorry, Jesus. You got to go back to school.
I was promoted.
You got to go back to school. Your dad's getting his dream. He's got all doctors in the family.
Yes.
You're listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
All right, here we go, guys. No whining this time. And one.
Hot in here.
Seriously, dude.
There's a crisis on the planet. It's heated up almost a whole degree. It hasn't been this hot in a long time. Not since the 16th century, when there were no evil SUVs. Stop global warming. It's up to you. The Earth's been the day it started spinning round and round. Stop global warming. Get your head out of the clouds.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Now don't talk to me about the polar bear. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days, even the air. You're running out of rhinos, what do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing in my deep freeze. It's casual entertainment. We ain't.
We haven't played that one in a long time. I love that song.
That's the party I want to go to.
I ain't running out of nothing in my deep freeze. all right, hit us with more numbers, Jesus.
Sure. I've got numbers coming out of my ears. So, 1985. Just back to the before I forget the question on the. On the, how much more could we produce? Could we pretty close to what we need?
Mm-hmm.
So, 1985, we produced 394 million barrels per year. By 2018, we are nearly 60% down off of that number. So, if we could generate production, and remember, from 1985 to today, regulations have just gone crazy. Our ability to do certain types of extractions. Where we can do the extractions, again, has been grossly limited over those years. I believe, this is unscientific, so this is just my views and my views only, based on all of the data that I've reviewed, and I've reviewed thousands of pages of oil extraction data, I believe that the state of California could achieve about a 70% of our need extraction in state. And that's before we would tap anything offshore. If we were able to do some offshore extraction with all of the regulations in place today, that would be done in the most benign way possible. Yes, nothing is without risk. But if you walk outside, you are engaging in risk today. I can't say, not without risk, but I can also say, everything that you do is a risk today in the world. So are we going to be nervous Nellies all the time, or are we going to figure out a way to become more self-sufficient in our needs and keep our costs down? Because at the end of the day, that's really what it should be about. It should be about a quality of life. And I think that that's some of what policymakers have forgotten. So if we, imagine if we could generate, if we could produce 70% of our need, we would really whack into that number of oil, of barrels of oil that are coming from those countries that we claim we don't ever want to see the light of day on those, on their social policies, right? Let's take some of that oil from U.S. domestic resources and, you know, keep putting Californians to work. At present, 500,000 people are employed in the oil industry in California. These are family wage, well-paid jobs, and that generate over $60 billion in tax revenue for the state of California. It's an industry that's worth north of $400 billion annually. And that's the other question that I have for policymakers in California, and I think that it's a serious question that has to be answered. What in the world will you use in 2035? Let's assume that by 2035 we do not have the internal combustion engine working in the state of California. Let's be fanatical about it right now. And that we have banned oil and that we've banned everything petrol-related. What are you going to use, policymaker in the state of California of the future, to replace a $400 billion industry that is a pillar of this economy? What will you use? What will happen to that vast area in the Bakersfield region that currently produces 70 to 80% of our in-state oil, that all stays here, by the way. We consume it. What will happen to those people? Where will they go? What will they do? What will the state do in order to recover that part of the economy? I mean, I we've heard the promise, and I jokingly say we had our first Democratic governor with electing Schwarzenegger. He came in with a lot of good promises, but in my opinion, those were never really delivered on.
No.
And that's my personal opinion.
That's so okay. We're all on the same team here.
My friends can throw rocks at me, and they have. But
you can't refute that.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
You can't refute that. Remember, he came in saying, we're going to make 100 million jobs are going to come. I don't remember the crazy number that he threw out. And then the University of Berkeley did a study, and it was very quietly done, and they said, actually, you know, it's not going to be 5 million, or 10, it was 10 million. It's not going to be 10 million jobs. It's going to be more like maybe a million jobs. And then they revised their study again, and they said, actually, it's not going to be a million jobs. It's going to be more like 150,000 jobs. And how many jobs actually were created out of those policies? 10,000 jobs.
That's close.
Yeah. 10,000, 10 million. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. But see, that's the craziness, right,
yeah,
of the whole thing, is that we're being led down that same path again with the same promise. And I'm sorry, but I saw that movie before, and it didn't go well for us. And this is, you're talking to a guy who has permitted wind projects, solar projects, biomass projects. I permitted the very first battery, what's called in the industry called a utility scale battery project in the state of California. I permitted the very first one. It's a 20 megawatt battery, 20 megawatt hour battery that discharges either in 4 hours or in 15 minutes, and it sits in beautiful Pomona, California. How many jobs did I create with that project? Well, I didn't. The owners did. I just did the permitting. Well, during construction, it was 68 jobs. Construction lasted 6 months, and then those jobs went away. So, but Jesus, somebody has to operate that facility right now, right? It's 20 megawatts, 20 megawatt hours. How many jobs? Well, I'll let you two guess. I'll give you each one guess. How many jobs in Pomona?
I'm going back to 17. That's my lucky number.
Okay, lucky 17.
I'm gonna go with 100.
Okay, zero is the answer.
Yes,
not one job. Not one job. Not one job. It is dispatched from Utah, and it's one person in Utah sitting at a computer.
Oh my gosh. Not one
job was created with that battery unit. It takes 4 hours to discharge it, or 15 minutes, depends on what the conditions of the grid are, and it takes 9 hours to charge it. It doesn't produce one electron, not one. Something else has to charge it. So there's the problem with batteries, right? Does it produce a useful service? Absolutely. But what we forget is that something has to charge it. And the way we've been dispatching batteries is it's not what we thought it was going to be. They're doing their job because it's just inertia on the system. And we'd need a whole show to talk about how the grid actually works. But that's the reality of the renewable promise. It's nice, it sounds good, and it's well-meaning. But in reality, you know, the problem is that I think the policymakers that have made these policies are long gone by the time the policies are in full effect. They're off to their next job if they're reelected somewhere. And the problem they left behind is somebody else's problem. So that's what we have. You know, 1969, we started imposing rule after rule on the extraction of oil in California. Back then, we were the third largest oil producer in the country. Now we're number six. We need 539 million barrels of oil to suit our needs. And right now, we're importing 342 million of those.
Holy crap. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad we have another hour with you. We have to take a quick break for the news. It's not Chris Wallace, though, so never fear. But we do have a special song for you. It's the Jesus song. Be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
I can see by your eyes you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy. If you think that you can fool me, because I've seen that movie too.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.